Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, it's Monday, September 9, and today I want to reflect on China's importance in global agriculture, particularly trade. Because there's no way you can have any serious discussion about global agricultural trade without mentioning and reflecting deeply on China. I mean, the country is the major importer in the world. If you were to rank the global agricultural importers, China is at the top. They account for about 11% of global agricultural imports, at least according to data from 2023. And in fact, even if you were to look the years before that, you realize that China remains the leader in global agricultural imports. And then one may ask and say, what is it that China buys from the world? They buy a range of products: soybeans, beef, cotton, wool, wine, vegetables, fruits, beer, canola seed, rapeseed. All of these products are some of the things that China buys from the world. They even import rice from their neighbors. And if you look at the data, you will see that there's also goat meat, sheep meat, and a range of the other starches and milk and other products. So the point is that China has a diverse basket of products that they buy from the world. And this makes them to be the top importer. And in monetary terms, then, if you were to say, how much exactly is that? And that average is somewhere around about $200 billion a year that China spends in the world importing a range of these products. And if you were to look at the major suppliers of agricultural products to China, you'll realize that it's the likes of Brazil, the US, Thailand, Australia, New Zealand, Indonesia, Canada, Vietnam, France, Russia, Argentina, Chile, Ukraine, the Netherlands, and Malaysia. Those are just some of the countries that are the major suppliers of a range of agricultural products to China. But China doesn't play a one-way onto the story of the global agriculture, because even on exports, they are a significant player. They are the fifth largest in the world. The countries that are ahead of China, of course, are the likes of the US, Brazil, Netherlands, and Germany. But China plays also an important role when we are thinking about the global agricultural exporters. But why am I bringing up the story of China in this moment? I'm bringing it up on the back foot of the conversation that just happened this past week, which is the forum on China-Africa cooperation, the FOCAC, that just was completed in the early September. In that conversation, what I was looking for, particularly for agriculture, were some of the deals that may be signed in thinking about the exports of agricultural products from Africa or technologies and deeper economic integration or cooperation in the space of agriculture between Africa and China. But of course, the only African country, in my view, that will stand to benefit in China is the likes of South Africa, because South Africa is a major agricultural exporter out of Africa. And in fact, if you were to look at the top 30 suppliers of agricultural products to China, South Africa is the only one there, ranked at number 28 in 2023. It accounted for a small share, though, about 0.4% in that $200 billion so of imports that China gets from the world. So South Africa is really a negligible player there. There are, though, other products when you're looking at top 40 now, like Sudan and Zimbabwe. That Zimbabwe is at number 34 and Sudan is at number 33, particularly sending some fruits and tobacco into China. So there are those players. So the question then that was sitting with me is to say, okay, what sort of agricultural trade deepening that we will see? We already heard the announcements from the South African officials where they are talking about certain deals that they are signing with China. But I think going forward, we will need more deeper engagement on widening our access as South Africa into the Chinese market, particularly in fruits, deeply on maize, as well as on the issues around the grains, because these are the products that South Africa has them in large volume, and we would like to see them entering the Chinese market more and more. What South Africa struggles with in China as we speak today is, of course, the issue of the import tariff. If you just look at a range of fruits that as South Africa we want to put to China, I mean, you think about citrus, for example. There are import duties that on average they are around about 11% for a whole range of citruses. Either it's a grapefruit, lemons, oranges, soft citrus. They may average around about 12% of that. Table grapes also faces an import tariff of about 13% in China. Apples face an import tariff of about 10%. Pears, 12%. Avocados, 25%. And the likes, and there's many of these things that faces some tariffs in China. Even mangoes, they face about 15%. Lychees, 21%. The point is that South Africa would like to see those tariffs lowered so that we can have a deeper trade engagement with China, because China is an important market. And that's the spirit that I think going forward, South African agricultural businesses, South African government officials, as well as the political leadership, needs to take that message forward of saying, how do we open up as many of these Chinese markets as possible by lowering tariff and also addressing any phytosanitary barriers that may exist. But I think outside of South Africa, if you look at the entire African continent, really the agricultural productivity remains fairly weak and the output as a result is low. Let's face it, it is South Africa and the Maghreb region that really has a robust agricultural output in here. Because if you think about Egypt, Tunisia and the others, they do have the volume in terms of the fruit exports that they can put into market. But in much of the African continent, the productivity remains low, which is why the African continent remains a major importer of food and agricultural products in general. In fact, the entire continent spend over $80 billion importing food each year, while the sub-Saharan Africa region, of course, it's somewhere in the range of $45 billion or so, which speaks to that difficulty that we face as the region. But there are these countries that are exceptions, South Africa, as well as the Maghreb region, that I think they should have continue to engage with China in expanding and deepening trade. But for the rest of the African continent, the conversation needs to be slightly different. There are a whole range of things that they've signed. I saw Mozambique would be sending nuts to China and some. But I think going forward, the conversation that should be had is to say, how can the African countries leverage on a relationship that they have with China on importing some of the technologies that may be useful for our productivity gains? Here, I'm thinking about technologies that could be utilized on on-farm solutions, either it's irrigation technologies, better seed cultivars, and any infrastructure that is needed. And I think that the other important thing that we don't talk about it, but it is vital, is the general infrastructure like roads and railway line. That is still in bad condition in many countries in the continent. And until that is fixed and the serious investments that has gone into that, we will not be able to see robust agricultural production, agribusinesses getting there, and the movement of products being there. Because now you get to have these fragmented value chains as a result of the weak infrastructure. So engaging with major countries like China, who have an appetite to invest in some range of the economies, I think it helps, one, for Africa to continue to have a conversation about infrastructure. And I know that in the recent projects that China has done in Africa, the reviews are mixed, but I think we can learn whatever that we complain about in those relationships and say, how do we continue to benefit on improving the infrastructure? And secondly, getting some of the on-farm technologies that can help boost agricultural productivity in Africa. Only when that productivity and the output improves can we really begin to have a conversation as a continent about the exports to China. But if you are sitting in South Africa, where you're already exporting roughly half of what we produce in value terms, and of course then looking at a sector that is expanding, expecting more volumes to come into the market, it is only right then that you begin to look and say, how can we benefit from China? And let's be serious about this. China is an important market, because if you look at their trade deficit on agricultural products, on average, it could be around about $117 billion. That's bigger than some economies in the continent, or equal some. So the point is, China remains an important market. They're still spending a lot out there on importing the food products. So even if it takes time to improve the productivity in other countries, there could still be a benefit to be gained through cooperation with China. But I do think that for South Africa, talking to China about lowering the tariffs, removing phytosanitary constraints is an important conversation that we should continue to have. And South Africa already has some engagement with China on oil seeds, on meat, on grains, fruit and nuts, some beverages. But I think that if you remove the tariffs, then that places the landscape in a more equal footing, like what we see with Australia and the others that have a much more deeper relationship with China. And China is important for our wool industry. If you think about our wool, 70% of South Africa of our wool exports, they are concentrated in China. So China is an important market. But the conversation is about how do we continue to deepen and widen that trade cooperation that we do have with China. And I think that's the conversation that even beyond FOCAC and the state visit that we had with China, we have to be thinking about continuous engagement with the leadership there as the South Africans, so that we integrate and we strengthen that relationship. All of that is important because if we are to till the extra land that South Africa currently has that is underutilized at about 2.5 million hectares, there needs to be a market for those products, because we cannot expand our production, improve the productivity in the areas that we have farmed and get these volumes without actually having the markets. I made the point earlier that the $13.2 billion of agricultural exports in South Africa in 2023 make up about roughly half of what we produce in value terms. So whatever gains we will gain going forward through productivity, through expansion in area planting, they will have to be absorbed by the international markets, and China is part and parcel of that. And I think this conversation with China is the one that should be taken forward and integrated in the conversation about the broader BRICS agricultural trade conversation. That's something that I think in the coming weeks we will need to reflect on, especially as the BRICS Business Council is warming up to go to Moscow for their annual conference. And then from Moscow, the political leadership will be heading to Kazan to talk about some of these things, all in Russia. But that's the conversation that we will have. And for that, let me stop there, folks. All I needed this week is to highlight the importance of China and the potential benefits for South Africa and the broader African continent. Thank you so very much for listening. My name is Wandi Lesihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria, South Africa. You can read a bit about some of the things that I write. The link for my blog is in the description of this podcast. Follow me on socials, Wandi Lesihlobo, and follow them, Kokeli Podcast, also on socials. Thank you for listening.